Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Member by Avram Goldar and Tirim Mesechus Menachos Daf Lamed Zayin, the third parak HaKomets Rabbah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, our Braisa teaches that when the Torah says to place Tefillin Shel Yad on Yadcha, your hand, it means the left hand, because several psukim contrast Yad with Yamin, the right hand, implying that Yad indicates the left hand. Rabbi Nassin says that the words Ukshartam Uksavtam, and you shall bind them and you shall write them, referring to mezuzahs, compare the two terms, Maksiva B'yamin Af Kshira B'yamin. Just as writing a mezuzah is usually done with the right hand, so too binding Tefillin is done with the right hand. Since he binds with his right hand, the placing must be on the left arm. Ravashi says the spelling of Yadcha with a hey alludes to Keha, the weak left arm. A Braisa teaches that Iter, a left-handed person, places Tefillin onto his right arm, Shehu Smolo, because it's considered his left hand since it is the weaker of the two. Another Braisa, which states that an Iter should place Tefillin on his left arm, is referring to Sholot B'Shtei Yodov, one who controls both his hands, meaning an ambidextrous person. Point number two, a Braisa defines all yadcha as referring specifically to the kiboris, the biceps muscle. The place for the shel rosh, expressed as bein einecha, between your eyes, means the cud code, which is further explained as makom shemocho shel tinok rofes, the place where an infant's skull is soft. A Braisa gives several sources that yadcha refers to the biceps muscle. Number one, we compare tefillin shel yad with tefillin shel rosh. Just as the shel rosh is placed begova shebarosh on the high part of the head, the shel yad is also placed begova shebiyad on the high part of the arm. Number two, the pasuk says v'hayel l'chol la'os, and it shall be a sign for you, which implies l'chol la'os v'lo l'acherim la'os. For you, the wearer, it shall be a sign, but it shall not be a sign for others. Thus, it's placed on the biceps muscle, a location which is ordinarily not visible to others and not on the hand. However, the tefillin may be visible. Number three, the pasuk says to place Hashem's words al levavchem on your hearts. Then it says ukshartam, and you shall bind tefillin, teaching shetehei sima keneged halev, that the placing shall be opposite the heart. Two sources are given for the correct place for the shel rosh. And point number three, the Mishnah Daf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph stated that all four tzitzios are ma'akiv each other, she'arba'asan mitzvah achas, because the four of them are one mitzvah. Well, Rabbi Shmuel says they are four mitzvahs. Amoraim offer three nafkaminas between these opinions. Number one, using tzadim b'tzitzis, a linen sheet with wool tzitzis. If the garment is missing one tzitzis and the other three contain shatnez, the Tanakhama holds he transgresses the prohibition to wear shatnez since he's not fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, whereas Rabbi Shmuel says he fulfills three mitzvahs with the tzitzis on the garment and does not transgress shatnez. Number two, tells Baalas Chamesh, a five-cornered cloak. According to the Tanakhama, only four of the corners require tzitzis, while Rabbi Shmuel would require tzitzis on all five corners, since each corner is an independent mitzvah. And number three, Rav Huna ruled that one who goes out into Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos wearing Tal She'ini Mitzuyetzes Kehilchasa, a garment which is not properly fringed, is liable for a chatas, because the invalid tzitzis is considered a burden. These Tanaim disagree if this would apply where tzitzis are on three of the four corners. So once again, the three points are, number one, a Braisa teaches that when the Torah says to place Tefillin Shel Yad al Yadcha, your hand, it means the left, because several psukim contrast Yad with Yamin, the right hand, implying that Yad indicates the left hand. Rabbi Nassin says that the words ukshartam uksavtam, and you shall bind them and you shall write them, referring to mezuzahs, compare the two terms, maksiva b'yamin af kshira b'yamin. Just as writing a mezuzah is usually done with the right hand, so too binding tefillin is done with the right hand. Since he binds with his right hand, the placing must be on the left arm. Ravashi says the spelling of yadcha with a hey alludes to keha, the weak left arm. A Braisa teaches that Iter, a left-handed person, places tefillin onto his right arm, shehu smolo, because it's considered his left hand since it is the weaker of the two. Another Braisa, which states that an Iter should place tefillin on his left arm, is referring to Sholot B'Shtei Yodov, one who controls both his hands, meaning an ambidextrous person. Point number two, a Braisa defines all yadcha as referring specifically to the kiboris, the biceps muscle. The place for the shel rosh, expressed as bein einecha, between your eyes, means the cud code, which is further explained as makom shemocho shel tinok rofes, the place where an infant's skull is soft. A Braisa gives several sources that yadcha refers to the biceps muscle. Number one, we compare tefillin shel yad with tefillin shel rosh. Just as the shel rosh is placed begova shebarosh on the high part of the head, the shel yad is also placed begova shebiyad on the high part of the arm. Number two, the pasuk says, "V'hayel l'chol la'os," and it should be a sign for you, which implies l'chol la'os, v'lo l'acherim la'os. For you, the wearer, it shall be a sign, but it shall not be a sign for others. Thus, it's placed on the biceps muscle, a location which is ordinarily not visible to others, and not on the hand. However, the tefillin may be visible. Number three, the pasuk says to place Hashem's words al levavchem on your hearts. Then it says ukshartam, and you shall bind tefillin, teaching shetehei sima keneged halev, that the placing shall be opposite the heart. Two sources are given for the correct place for the Shel Rosh. And point number three, the Mishnah Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph stated that all four tzitzios are ma'akiv each other, she'arba'asan mitzvah achas, because the four of them are one mitzvah. Well, Rabbi Shmuel says they are four mitzvahs. Amoraim offer three nafkaminas between these opinions. Number one, using tzadim b'tzitzis, a linen sheet with wool tzitzis. If the garment is missing one tzitzis and the other three contain shatnez, the Tanakhama holds he transgresses the prohibition to wear shatnez since he's not fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, whereas Rabbi Shmuel says he fulfills three mitzvahs with the tzitzis on the garment and does not transgress shatnez. Number two, tells Baalas Chamesh, a five-cornered cloak. According to the Tanakhama, only four of the corners require tzitzis, while Rabbi Shmuel would require tzitzis on all five corners, since each corner is an independent mitzvah. And number three, Rav Huna ruled that one who goes out into Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos wearing Tal She'ini Mitzuyetzes Kehilchasa, a garment which is not properly fringed, is liable for a chatas, because the invalid tzitzis is considered a burden. These Tanaim disagree if this would apply where tzitzis are on three of the four corners. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Lamed Zayin, and our standard siman is laser tag. Laser tag. So here goes. The boys who knew they must put tefillin on their left arm because they use their right hand to write and to shoot in laser tag, aim for the tefillin targets on their opponent's biceps right near their heart, and argued that they should get four separate points for hitting the targets on the four corners of their opponent's tzitzis. Once again, slow motion. The boys who knew they must put tefillin on their left arm because they use their right hand to write and to shoot in laser tag, that must be more on Daf Lamed Zayin. The boys who knew they must put tefillin on their left arm because they use their right hand to write and to shoot in laser tag, which reminds us that Gemara brings various reasons how we know tefillin shel yad are placed on the left arm, whereas a left-handed person places the tefillin on his right arm. So the boys who knew they must put tefillin on their left arm because they use their right hand to write and to shoot in laser tag, aim for the tefillin targets on their opponent's biceps right near their heart, which reminds us that Braisa defines al yadcha as referring specifically to the kiboris, the biceps muscle. The place for the shel rosh, expressed as bein einecha, between your eyes, means the kadkod, which is further explained as makum shemocho shel tinek rofe, the place where an infant's skull is soft. Braisa gives several sources that yadcha refers to the biceps muscle. So the boys who knew they must put tefillin on their left arm because they use their right hand to write and to shoot in laser tag, aim for the tefillin targets on their opponent's biceps right near their heart, and argued that they should get four separate points for hitting the targets on the four corners of their opponent's tzitzis, which reminds us, Gemara brings a machlokes, if four tzitzis are considered one mitzvah or four mitzvahs. So once again, the boys who knew they must put tefillin on their left arm because they use their right hand to write and to shoot in laser tag, aim for the tefillin targets on their opponent's biceps right near their heart, and argue that they should get four separate points for hitting the targets on the four corners of their opponent's tzitzis. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Hazara. Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg-legged pirate. So here goes. The peg-legged pirate. Peg-legged pirate? That must be wrong, Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg-legged pirate who instructed his men to go after Hekard Seer for the door in the middle of the hideout, which reminds us that we learned that we use Hekard Seer, the indication of the pivot, to determine the direction of a doorway. Shmuel ruled that whichever room the pivot is in is considered the inside, and the mezuzah is placed on the right side for entering that room. So the peg-legged pirate who instructed his men to go after Hekard Seer for the door in the middle of the hideout was measuring the entrance to the hideout to put a mezuzah on the top third of the door, which reminds us the Gemara discusses the proper height for placing a mezuzah. So the peg-legged pirate who instructed his men to go after Hekard Seer for the door in the middle of the hideout was measuring the entrance to the hideout to put a mezuzah on the top third of the door. When he realized the reason for putting it near the outside of the door is to show that Hashem is guarding them, and promptly did tshuva, which reminds us that we learned that we place a mezuzah near the Rishus HaRabim because Hashem guards his servants from outside. Daf Lamed Daled. So the Siman Daf Lamed Daled is a ladder. So here goes. After climbing one ladder, that must be more on Daf Lamed Daled. After climbing one ladder to enter the doorway to the Batimacher, that only had one post but still had a mezuzah because the post was on the right, which reminds us, Rapapa taught that although Rabbi Meir holds that an entrance with a single side post requires a mezuzah, that is only when the side post is on the right side of the entrance, not on the left. This is based on a braisa which darshans Beis Selcha, your house, to mean the right side. As Rabbi explains, Derech Biascha Mina Yamin, the way of your entering, which is on the right side. Because when a person begins to move, it's his right foot, which he moves first. So after climbing one ladder to enter the doorway to the Batimacher, that had only one post but still had a mezuzah because the post was on the right, the customers climbed a large ladder to the second floor, where they were shown how the Batim Shel Rosh are made with four compartments from one or, which reminds us, a braisa states that the Tefillin Shel Rosh are made of four Batim, four compartments made of a single hide. The partials are written on four separate hides, but if they're written on one and were inserted into the four compartments, they're valid. If they are written on one hide, Rebbe says, a space must be left between the partials, but the Chachamim say it's unnecessary. So after climbing one ladder to enter the doorway to the Batimacher that had only one post, but still had a mezuzah because the post was on the right, the customers climbed a large ladder to the second floor where they were shown how the Batim Shel Rosh are made with four compartments from one or, and given a choice if they want the order of the partials of Tefillin, according to Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam, which reminds us that Gemara discussed the order of the partials in Tefillin. Daf Lamed Hey. So the Simur Daf Lamed Hey is a children's choir singing La La La. The children's choir. That must be around Daf Lamed Hey. Children's choir singing La La La. So the children's choir who used giant film props with the titura Emma Abarta and a shin just like the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, which reminds us, Rav says, the titura of tefillin was taught as a Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. This refers to the extended fourth wall of the tefillin, which is folded underneath to close the compartments. It's called the titura, a bridge, because it resembles a plank. Abai says that Halacha Moshe Mitzinai requires the Ma'abarta of tefillin, which is the back extension of the titura through which the strap passes back and forth. Abai said that Halacha Moshe Mitzinai requires the shin of tefillin. So the children's choir who used giant tefillin props with the titura and ma'abarta and a shin, just like the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, waved black ritzuos with multicolored backs, but never red, which reminds us, Rabbi Yitzchak says that Halacha Moshe Mitzinai requires the ritzuos, the straps of the tefillin, to be black. This is challenged from a braisa teaching that the ritzuos must be beminam, with their type of material, meaning leather, and can be dyed green, black, or white. However, they may not be red because it disgraces the wearer, who will seem to have bleeding scabs or had relations with his wife while she was Anita. The Gemara answers kan b'mifnim. The braisa allows various colors for the inside of the straps, whereas kan b'mechutz, Rabbi Yitzchak required black for the outside of the straps. So the children's choir who used giant tefillin props with the titura ma'abarta and a shin, just like the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, wave black ritzuos with multicolored backs, but never red, as they sang about when Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the kesher shel tefillin, which reminds us, Rav was quoted as saying that Halacha Moshe Mitzinai teaches the requirements of a kesher shel tefillin, the tefillin knot, which together form the letters shin, dalet, and yud. Rav Shimon Chasida says that when a Kosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu he would see Hashem's back, it means the kesher shel tefillin at the back of his head. Daf Lamed Vav. So the simur Daf Lamed Vav is a luav. So here goes. The man who noticed a luav, that must be on Daf Lamed Vav. The man who noticed the luv on the table as he was putting on his tefillin asked his friend, do we make a bracha on tefillin on Chol HaMoed? In between making the bracha on the shel yad and putting on the shel rosh, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the brachas over the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. So the man who noticed the luv on the table as he was putting on his tefillin asked his friend, do we make a bracha on tefillin on Chol HaMoed? In between making the bracha on the shel yad and putting on the shel rosh, to which his friend answered, Chol HaMoed is like yantiv. And we don't wear tefillin, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether tefillin are worn at night or in Shabbos and Yantav. So the man who noticed the luv on the table as he was putting on his tefillin asked his friend, do we make a bracha on tefillin on the Chol HaMoed? In between making the bracha on the shel yad and putting on the shel rosh, to which his friend answered, Chol HaMoed is like Yantav, and we don't wear tefillin. While their friend nearby touched his own tefillin because his attention to them was being distracted by the conversation, which reminds us, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna said, Chai vanu l'mashmesh b'tfilin b'chol sha'ah. A person is obligated to touch his tefillin constantly to remain mindful of them. This can be derived from a kal v'chomer from the tzitz. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Which stuff do you discuss an entrance with only one side post and the requirement to place the mezuzah on the right side? That's on daf. Lamadalad. Good. Number two. Which stuff do you discuss sirtut for tefillin and mezuzah? That's on daf. Lama Beis. Good. Number three. Which daf do we have a machlokes if four tzitzis are considered one mitzvah or four mitzvahs? That's on daf. Ramad Zayin.
Good. Number four. Which daf do we discuss the order of the parshios in Tefillin? That's on daf. Lama Dalad. Good. Number five. Which daf do you discuss whether one can sit on a bed that has a Sefer Torah on it? That's on daf. Lama Beis. Good. Number six.
Which daf do we discuss the brachos over the Tefillin Shel Yad and the Tefillin Shel Rosh? That's on daf. Lama Vav.
Good. Number seven.
Which daf do we learn where Tefillin are placed on the arm and the head? That's on daf. Lama Zion.
Good. Number eight. Which daf do we learn about the requirements of the Ritzuos regarding their color and length? That's on daf.
Amen Hey.
Good. Number nine.
Which daf do we learn the reason why the Tefillin Shel Yad are placed on the left arm and for a left-handed person they're placed on the right arm? That's on daf. Lama Zion.
Great. And number 10. Which daf discusses the placement of the words Al Ha'aretz on the last line of a mezuzah? That's on daf.
Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichri wishing you a great day and great learning.